Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in this week's programme, I'll be speaking with Ron Kerrigan, General Manager of the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel, about a €1 million investment in sustainable energy practices, which has also seen the hotel shortlisted for the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland's Energy Awards 2024. And I'll also be finding out more about II, the Inishowen Innovation Hub, and an event there next week with a workshop and a question and answer session about the challenges of software development. I've been speaking with Anne-Marie McLaughlin, II Innovation Manager. But first, an update on what's happening in the wind energy sector. Donegal has featured prominently when it comes to the development of wind farms in Ireland. Indeed, I can recall the opening of the first wind farm in the county near Barnesmore Gap back in 1996. Well, a lot has happened since then, and considerable potential exists for further wind farm projects. During the week, I caught up with Dave Linehan, Head of Policy and Research at Wind Energy Ireland. I began by asking him to outline to me just where we are in terms of wind farm development at the moment, what lies ahead nationally and also in Donegal, not just in terms of onshore projects, but also the potential for offshore projects, and how big targets have been set for increased electricity generation from wind farms.
Yes, indeed. And thanks indeed, Chris, for having me on the programme. You tell a really interesting story there around the mid-90s, and I guess that was the very infancy of the onshore wind sector, which has since evolved and expanded massively across the country to a point now where we've got several hundred wind farms the length and breadth of the country. In fact, we've got now very close to 5,000 megawatts of installed onshore wind capacity across the country. And to put that into perspective for you, on a given year, that's now at a point where it's reaching anywhere between 35 and 40% of power consumed right across the country every single year coming exclusively from onshore wind farms. So that's a real success story, and one that I think as a nation, we should be immensely proud. We're right up there at the top of the league table across Europe and indeed across the world when you look at how much of our power is coming from onshore wind across a calendar year. And let's not forget as well, it's a huge supporter of local economies. There's some 5,000 jobs now associated to the onshore wind sector, tens of millions of euro invested into rural economies every year. And of course, most importantly, clean, affordable electricity being provided to Irish families, businesses and communities across the country. Really, I guess, an important point here of cutting that link between volatile imported fossil fuels, you know, damaging carbon emissions, and really just becoming much more reliant on clean, reliable energy. That's what onshore wind, and I guess into the future, offshore wind is going to allow us in Ireland to achieve.
Now, I suppose, you know, ultimately there is a limit on the amount of onshore sites that we have. There can be opposition in areas, there can be county development plans. So there'll come a point that maybe, you know, the number of suitable sites may be quite limited. That said, I presume a lot of the older wind farms, some of the older turbines, older technology, they can be replaced with bigger, more efficient ones. So that, I take it, will also help increase the generating capacity.
Indeed, it will. And what's really interesting now is you talk about those projects built back in the early days of the 90s and early 2000s. Many of those smaller wind turbines and wind farms are now coming towards the end of life for the existing technology. But technology has obviously evolved massively since then. And now what we're seeing actually is you can, what's known as repower a lot of those existing sites, where you can actually get a huge, much more increased capacity from the same size of a wind farm, you know, with modern technology, with better efficiency turbines, et cetera. You can actually get a lot more from the existing assets than you would have initially when those projects were being built 20 or 30 years ago. what's really, I suppose, positive from a Donegal perspective, you know, there has been huge success from an onshore wind perspective in Donegal. Donegal regularly features in our top five counties every month in terms of onshore wind energy production. Roughly on a given month, it could be producing up to 10% of national wind energy, just that single county of Donegal alone. And I think there are still plans, albeit some limited plans for further onshore wind development across Donegal. Now, what we have been seeing in recent years is, I guess, a big challenge in Donegal in terms of grid capacity. So once you've got your turbine, I guess the really important element of making sure that wind farm is viable is having a strong connection to the electricity grid so that, you know, any wind that's generated can be exported onto the power system so home, schools and businesses can utilise that green energy. And what we've seen, I suppose, is limited grid capacity being available, not just in Donegal, but in large pockets of the west of Ireland, to be honest with you. So increasingly, I think we're seeing challenges there in terms of further onshore wind development because of that limited grid capacity. And I think that's one key area where we really need to see large public support, political support too, over the next decade, is actually driving behind supporting some of those ambitious grid development plans that the system operator, the state company EirGrid, has put in place for reinforcing the electricity grid. Because without it, I suppose, the economic prosperity that we've seen across Ireland over the last 15 years will simply dry up. We just won't be able to prosper into the 2030s without that strong electricity grid. The other interesting element, as you mentioned there, is planning and challenges there. In Wind Energy Ireland, we've been very focused on this as a big issue for a lot of onshore development in the last 9 months, and indeed longer than that in many cases. We obviously have a huge reliance in this country on the planning system, not just for renewable assets, but for houses, for all sorts of infrastructure. And I know it's a big focus in the political space right now as we head into a general election campaign. You know, how do we improve that planning system? How do we get an efficient, streamlined planning system that's adequately resourced? And that, you know, that's as big a challenge for, as I say, for housing, for other infrastructure, as it is for wind projects. But it definitely is an area that will limit our ability to thrive, our ability to decarbonize our energy system, while that barrier of a slow planning system and indeed that grid capacity limitation stays with us.
And as we look to the future, Dave, there's going to be a, dare I say it, an explosion in offshore development in terms of wind energy. The government has recently held a number of auctions with regard to this. Now, initially, it's going to be off the south and then sort of the southeast coasts. Longer term, I know there has been initial plans regarding a possible site in Donegal Bay and has been some interest in that. But eventually, I suspect it is something we will see off the Donegal coast.
It definitely is, Chris. And I think it's really important to realise the massive progress that has taken place with offshore development for wind farms in the last 3 to 4 years. Right now, what we're seeing is a phase one system where you've got an initial round of six offshore wind projects progressing through the planning system. All six of those projects will enter the planning system this year, four of them already in there, two more to go in the next couple of weeks. And all of those projects will hopefully be building out across the country, five of them on the East Coast, one of them a fixed foundation technology turbine set up on the West Coast. All of those projects hoping to build out by 2030. And what we'll see from that point onwards then is a move to what's known as a plan-led system led by the Irish state, where effectively areas right across the coast will be assessed in terms of suitability, that technical environmental considerations, for example, for offshore wind. So we're seeing the first of those, as you point out, take place now on the south coast. The first auction in that new plan-led system will take place early next year, just off the Cork-Waterford coastline. But what we're really excited to see, I suppose, is the development beyond that of a roadmap of lots of these areas of effectively designated seabeds right across the south coast, the west coast as well, for these offshore wind development sites. And that's a really exciting prospect for the west coast and for indeed the Donegal coastline in particular, to unlock the real potential of that massive resource that we have in the Atlantic Ocean that's untapped, that has huge potential. You know, we've got a marine area 10 times our landmass in Ireland. We've got some of the windiest conditions on the planet. And the Donegal Coast in particular, you know, it has significant potential for floating offshore wind development. That's a different type of technology to the type of technology that those initial batch of projects will be progressing. Floating wind turbines, they're not anchored directly to the seabed. They're supported by floating platforms, and there's a huge amount of research development activity taking place across our third level system right now. Indeed, Wind Energy Ireland is partnering with ATU up in Letterkenny on a number of different projects in the floating wind space. And that would be the technology, I suppose, that does in the medium term unlock that huge potential for offshore wind development along the Donegal and wider western seaboard. Yeah. So we're really excited about the prospects there.
And for places like Killybegs, which is a deep sea port, you know, already there is a certain amount of wind farm related activity there. But again, it has big potential.
It does indeed. And a couple of years back, Wind Energy Ireland would have taken a piece of research, the National Port Study, which we commissioned to look at what the potential is for the likes of Killybegs and other ports across the country. As we look to scale up offshore wind development, we're going to need to have these ports located across the country to build out the turbines, to get them ready to install at sea. So Killybegs is certainly something you know, that was assessed as part of that. And we did see huge potential for Killybegs and a number of other ports along the West Coast to develop, to prosper from that potential from offshore wind. A huge amount of investment will be required. That's definitely the case. But there definitely will be huge benefit as well for local communities to embrace that change, to reskill, to retrain into that area. And I think the future is bright from that perspective.
Now, recently there was a wind energy trade show held in Dublin, and by all accounts, really big interest in that. And no doubt people will have picked up many things from that, and it all augurs well for the future.
Indeed it does, and that was our second annual trade show. We created the first one last year, and it's great to see it go from strength to strength in 2024. Would have had a number of international speakers at the event talking about the long-term potential for floating offshore wind, for example, as we've just been speaking about. We had Minister Eamon Ryan in one of his final public addresses as the outgoing minister as well present. We ourselves had a really exciting launch of a brand new offshore wind skills academy, which we launched at the trade show last week. So when I talk about that reskilling opportunity and all of the jobs that will come from the offshore wind sector as it grows, this offshore wind skills academy, which we've just launched in collaboration with the government and SkillNet Ireland, is going to be a huge way to tap into that potential. You know, jobs across areas such as planning, ecology, engineering, project management, turbine technicians, vessel crews, port operatives, legal expertise, finance. You know, it's an endless list of potential careers that people can find in this offshore sector as it grows. I mentioned at the very start of the interview the 5,000 plus people already employed in the onshore wind sector. We expect that figure to more than double in the next 7 years as the offshore sector ramps up as well. So I would really encourage people to check out that offshore wind skills academy. We've also got a resource called workinwind.ie where you can literally go in, you can complete surveys to determine, you know, where your interests lie in terms of jobs in the sector. So it is a really interesting space. It's a space that's going to continue to grow, Chris. So I'm really excited about the opportunities there in the years ahead.
In terms of government policy, are we going down any particular road in relation to, will it just be big companies coming in from abroad, or is there going to be a lot of community-led projects, or is there going to be a sort of a bit of a mix in that regard?
I think there's potential for it to be a mix. I think what you're already seeing in some of the initial developments, you've got large international companies coming in, was very much in the spirit of partnering with indigenous Irish companies. We've seen examples of our state-owned companies, for example, Bord na Mona and ESB, sign up joint venture agreements with large international companies who are entering the market. So I think you've got that international experience of companies that have been building offshore wind farms abroad for the last 15 years, now partnering up with those that have the local knowledge here in Ireland. And that's a real strong partnership to form. there's also, I guess, that community engagement aspect where, you know, local communities and buy-in to projects is going to be crucial to the success of this sector. It just simply won't happen without buy-in from local communities, from fishers as well. So there's a huge amount of work to do in that space. And I know a lot of these initial projects now, in fact, all of these initial projects will have dedicated boots on the ground, you know, working with communities, engaging with them to make sure that there's a social license to operate, I suppose, and to build these projects, and that there's buy-in from communities. Every one of these projects will also add huge value over the lifetime of the project to the local communities. That's mandated within a lot of the contracts that these projects are signing, where they'll pay back investment into local communities every single year over the lifetime of the operational wind farms. So I think it has to be a win-win for this to be a success, and that's certainly a big part of the work that all of the developers out there are doing right now.
And finally, Dave, and briefly, looking ahead, this is a huge natural resource, something that Ireland has a competitive advantage in relation to many of our EU neighbours. So for those involved in this sector, it looks like very exciting times ahead.
Indeed it does. And look, as I mentioned, massive ramp up expected over the coming years to those initial 2030 targets. I think when we go beyond that, when you start to tap into the vast resource that's out there, as I say, in the Atlantic Ocean, into the 2030s, into the 2040s, the opportunity to not just have a zero carbon or a fossil fuel free electricity source, but also a wider economy that's powered by our own natural resources here in Ireland is something that's the prize that we're all fighting for, I suppose, over the next 15 to 20 years as we build out this brand new industry. So it's a really exciting time, and I would really encourage people to get involved, to look up some of those resources I mentioned, and to learn more about how you can get involved yourself.
And that was Dave Linehan, Head of Policy and Research at Wind Energy Ireland. Well, the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel is a finalist in this year's small and medium business category at the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland Energy Awards. Delighted to say Ron Kerrigan, General Manager at the hotel, has joined me on the line to talk a little bit about what the hotel has been doing to enhance sustainable hospitality. Ron, an investment of over €1 million. There's been a lot going on, and maybe we can just go through it. But essentially, you're moving with the times. You're doing your bit, and it's also going to lead to energy savings. And I take it you're well pleased with what has been achieved already.
Yes, we have. It's obviously been absolutely fantastic for all involved. It's great that we're up for this prestigious award, obviously. Now, and it'll be the icing on the cake for us, really. The amount of work that we've done to date has been very considerable. We've put in a lot of work, and as I said, it'll just be great now to potentially come home with the award. But even if we don't, we're obviously already kind of reaping the rewards from all the investment that we've put in.
So give us a little bit of an idea of what the hotel has been doing. Maybe we'll start off with the solar panels outside.
Yes, we can certainly. So we installed a 288 kilowatt solar array to the rear of the hotel, and we worked with Pat Smith from LocoPower and found their services and skill set to be the best. The array itself is actually on the side of a mountain with an east to west facing. So we just didn't simply have the capacity for all the panels on the roof. So you can imagine some of the logistical challenges we faced with this project, due to the topography of the land. But it all worked out very great in the end. It was a mammoth investment for the hotel, but one that we will hope to reap the rewards now, obviously, in many years ahead.
And did you find you had to put in quite a bit of time and research before going ahead with this? How did you go about that? Because I'm sure, there's different types of products that you can get. And for many of us, it's a relatively new area.
Yeah, there was a lot of research from myself, working closely with the director, Sean Coe, Research was everything, because there's obviously a lot of panels out there, a lot of different types, and there's a lot of things to research. So we had to take our time and really go through everything in great detail. And we done that, and as I said, we ended up then with Pat Smith from Local Power with the glass and glass panels, which we felt were going to be the best and the most sustainable, obviously, for ourselves going forward.
Heating a hotel, that's a big expense, and sometimes you're going to have more higher occupancy rates than others, and I'm sure you want to be as efficient as you can. So you have a heat building management system, and maybe you can elaborate just what exactly is that? What does it involve?
Yeah, so we have a heat management system in place. We worked with Gary from HeatBoss last August. We put in this system, so it's basically just allows us to independently control each and every area of the hotel. Obviously independently, so there's nothing worse than going to like a hotel and the heat just blasting, because obviously people just open windows and stuff, and it's obviously not efficient at all. So we can control every single zone in the hotel, and we obviously have the temperatures set as they need to be, and it's great, and it's just, you couldn't run it any other way personally.
And I suspect years ago you probably consumed considerable amounts of heating oil, heating the hotel. Again, there's been a shift here, and you're one of a number of businesses throughout the county who have installed a wood chip boiler heating system. So a big change there, but it's been, again, a big success.
Yes, our wood chip is also another fantastic addition to the hotel. So we installed a 500 kilowatt system in a facility to the rear of the hotel. It's again going very, very well for us. It's over 600 meters away from the hotel, but we actually only lose less than 1 degree of heat coming from all that distance away. It's a very clean and efficient system. We get our wood chip from McMorrow Haulage in Leitrim, and they are FSM certified, so everything is sustainably managed. So obviously we're not just cutting down trees left, right and centre for our wood chip, so everything's done accordingly. So, and again, we're seeing great results as well. So it's hand in hand with the solar. That would be our largest investment also.
Yeah, so no real surprise in many ways that the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland has recognised you and put you on the shortlist for those energy awards. And then more on a more simpler note, light bulbs, LED lighting, we've seen that in many businesses. And again, this is the case down at Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel. And whilst it might mean a little bit of a capital outlay in the short term, in the long term, you can make big savings.
Yes, everything that we're doing is obviously all with a bit of foresight in mind that in you're doing now. Yes, you're putting in the investment, but it's obviously for the future. And like the LED lights, is again, it's like a no-brainer. There's no point having lights on when they're not required. So we have the sensor LEDs throughout the hotel.
Yeah, and another area I see that you've invested in, laundry services. Again, this is something that would normally require quite a lot of electricity use. So what have you been doing there?
So that was another project that we completed last year, and again, we had done a lot of review, a lot of research into it, and to be honest with you, it's probably one of the best decisions we ever made. We can centrally manage it. It's also much easier. We have a lot more control, and obviously the reduced costs. We put in the most economical machines in the market, hence further reducing our carbon footprint. Plus, we operated during like the daylight hours, so as to maximise, you know, the use of the solar production. So everything has been methodically kind of planned out, and it's all working very well in sync together.
I'm sure, Ron, that many of your guests coming to the hotel, it's another box to tick off, and people want to support hotels that are taking steps to be more energy efficient.
Yes, it's been fantastic for all concerned. Even like the staff, for example, they're very appreciative of what we've done, and they can see the lengths that hotel management are going through to make the hotel more sustainable and environmentally conscious, obviously all the while reducing your carbon footprint. You obviously just want to be less reliant on the burning the fossils, because there's a new generation obviously out there now that are very conscious of the environment. So it was very important to us to showcase, you know, that we're doing the right thing, and because we want to be attractive, you know, for obviously all the guests to come in the future. Plus too, we're obviously one of the biggest employers in the area. We have a role to play. I feel personally that locals and businesses kind of look up to us at the lodge, so we wish to lead by example, and that's what I believe we've done heavily recently, and we're going to continue to going forward for the hotel.
I'm speaking with Ron Kerrigan, the General Manager of the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel, a finalist in the Small and Medium Business category at the 2024 Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland Energy Awards. Now, we're recording this before the awards ceremony taking place this weekend. And Ron, I mean, you're saying that, you know, it's great to be involved in this. You were shortlisted and an award would be the icing on the cake. Amongst the projects that you've been involved in the hotel, I see that you have a natural spring well and you're hoping to avail of that and to use that for a considerable amount of the hotel's water needs.
Yes. So as we've mentioned, we have done a lot and we can always do more. You can never really do enough. There's always something crops up. So we are currently in the middle of introducing the natural spring well for the hotel's water supply. So yeah, if all goes to plan, we should hope to satisfy up to around 80% of the hotel's daily water demands, which again is another fantastic addition to the hotel.
Absolutely. And I think I'm right in saying you're Ireland's most northerly four-star hotel. How's the current season been?
Yes, we are Ireland's most northerly four-star hotel, and we can't complain. We're obviously a family-run hotel with 40 guest rooms. We've been in operation nearly 20 years now. We have very passionate owners with Sean and Mary Keogh, and they're always looking to push the hotel to greater heights. We obviously boast a leisure, spa, wedding and conferencing facilities. We host around 100-plus weddings and events per year, and we proudly average around 92% occupancy per year, which is extremely high and would put us one of the leading for that figure in Ireland. I think the industry standard, according to Fitch Ireland, is under 70%. So we're doing something right up here.
Absolutely. And over the years, Ron, great to see you. You've won numerous awards and the high quality of the cuisine, be it through the AA, Michelin Guide, and online, you have a strong digital presence, and that's absolutely crucial as well.
Yes, it is. In the modern day, everybody's glued to their phones, so whether you like it or not, it's very important to keep a strong presence online, and that's something that we focus heavily on as well, to make sure we just produce good content that people obviously want to see, and it's obviously very rewarding for ourselves as well, being able to push and promote all our awards and for everybody to see.
Yeah, and tell us about the breakdown of the visitors that you have to the hotel. Are they mainly from the South, from North, UK? What sort of a mix have you got? No doubt there's a few Americans as well.
Yes, luckily we can tick all the boxes for all guests. We are in a beautiful location, so you have a lot of people coming for the views. We're only 3 kilometres away from Ballyliffin Golf Club, which is world famous and absolutely fantastic. We get a lot of weddings, and we've the leisure and spa, so we have a lot of families who want to come for that as well, and just people to get away maybe from like the Boston city life as well. So we're able to tick all the boxes for the demographics, and whether that's North, South, UK, Europe, America, we get them from all over. So that's another very good thing to have now.
Yeah, and as we've been talking about, you, the hotel has spent in excess of €1 million in making it more energy efficient, and on the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland website, with the reference to Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel, it says that you exemplify leadership in sustainable hospitality. And going forward, no doubt that there will be other projects coming down the track.
Yeah, no, there has been. We obviously work very closely with the SEAI, and because they do provide great grants, and they make it all the worthwhile. So, yeah, no, it's great just because the fact that we are obviously a relatively small hotel, yet we're able to fight with the big boys, and we're probably one of the greenest hotels in Ireland with the work we've done. Like, if we can do it, there's certainly plenty of others that can do it, and that's from small to medium leading to large businesses. Everybody can make a start and take a good look at it, and they can improve. And as I said, there is that kind of backing as well from SEA to help and give you a good kickstart for it.
And finally, Ron, there are of course cost pressures on all businesses, indeed the hospitality sector, and the ongoing campaign to get VAT rates reduced. But looking ahead to next year, would you be fairly positive about the outlook for your hotel and indeed the industry in general?
Yes, I'd be optimistic. I know obviously there's a lot of pushing for the VAT rates to be reduced, and obviously there's the minimum wage increases as well. But again, it's just something that you have to take on board and tackle accordingly. So we're very optimistic ourselves here in the Lodge, and our forecasting is leading us to believe we should have a similar year to this year. So as I said, we're in the high 90s occupancy, so we can't do much better than that. So no, we'll keep going and putting our heads down and keep making the four-star Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa an attractive place for everybody to go to.
And that was Ron Kerrigan, General Manager of the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel. II, or Inishowen Innovation, is the home for local tech entrepreneurs and startups, remote workers, small and medium enterprises, and indeed innovative companies. Based in Buncrana and serving the entire Inishowen Peninsula and beyond, the II really is more than a digital innovation hub. It provides a range of facilities and is also a helping hand, a guide and a support for people in business. Indeed, it offers its members growth and scaling opportunities, access to world-class standard technological knowledge and skills, and state-of-the-art co-working facilities that are purposely designed for collaboration. On Thursday, the 24th of November, along with a Polish software company called Gorion, which deals with a number of companies here in the Northwest, Inishowen Innovation is inviting local entrepreneurs and innovators to a one-of-a-kind workshop and question-and-answer session about the challenges of software development. The event, titled Gateway to Product Development Success, is free of charge. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking with Anne-Marie McLaughlin, II Innovation Manager. And before going into the details about the event, I asked her if she could tell me a little bit more about the hub.
Absolutely. So Inishowen Innovation, as you said, is a hub in Buncrana, but as the name implies, serves all of Inishowen. We've been open in the new facility for just over a year now. It's a beautiful building, renovated and extended building on St. Orange Road. We have gigabit fibre broadband and a really nice productive co-working space that has privacy facilities, excellent coffee and tea, which are very important as well. And the goal of the hub essentially is to drive economic growth and job creation in the area, and the way that we're helping to do that is by providing services and support and access to disruptive technology to existing businesses and new startups. And we're also supporting remote tech workers, people who are working from home or doing hybrid work.
So some of the people coming in, maybe just coming in for, it could be an afternoon, they could be coming in a couple of times a week, and then I take it others would be coming in maybe on a more regular basis.
Yeah, that's right. We have people who can, so people can just book a hot desk for a day if they need a space for a day. We have a lot of people who are using the hybrid model where they are either working from home or working potentially in an office further away a couple of days a week. And then they come into the Innovation Hub 2 days a week. Those are our hybrid members who are also contributing sort of to the ecosystem of the II as well. A lot of them are small businesses. They're working for themselves. They're doing all kinds of varied kind of work. We have people who are doing video production, post-production. We have people creating curriculum materials for education, animation, cybersecurity, even drone technology, and we have several AI experts. So we've got people from all different types of work. As you said, whether they're coming in for a day now and again, or came in regularly. We also have office space that is currently being used by Forward Emphasis, which has its headquarters in Malinhead and has been using the II as another location so that they can extend their geographic area where they can hire. They're in the middle of a growth spurt at the moment and doing a lot of hiring. So having the facility, the ready-to-go space within Inishowen Innovation has helped them to do that.
And are you close to capacity? You know, if you keep getting more people in, will there come a point that you'll, well, it'd be a nice situation to be in, but how many more can you essentially cater for?
Well, we have the facilities to cater for people coming and going. So we have 15 hot desk space, but that accommodates, you know, the people who are coming in every once in a while, people who are coming in a couple of days a week. We have office space. A lot of that's currently being used by Forward Emphasis, but we do have space available. And the goal is, or the ideal would be, that we have someone come in, use a space in our more flexible facility, and then potentially start their business and rent a two-person office. And eventually, a couple of years down the line, hopefully they would outgrow that and then find other accommodation in the area to expand their company into.
So in many cases, this is really an important first step. And obviously, people coming in, they can be guided in the right direction and maybe looking at possible funding or going through the local enterprise office or Enterprise Ireland or various other bodies and state agencies that can support you.
Absolutely. That's one of the core facilities that we offer as well. We have an excellent advisory board in partnership with a lot of those entities. Enterprise Ireland and Donegal County Council actually funded the initial innovation, but we have very close ties with all of the other agencies that can provide those kinds of supports, services, funding, mentorship, and we actually will be hosting a local enterprise office event in the coming days as well. So we do have the capacity to be able to forward people and signpost these people who are either already underway with their small business or potentially starting a new business to get access to the services that can help them to do that.
On Thursday, November the 21st, you have a very important event coming up. And in the press release that was sent out, the heading says, "Everything you ever wanted to know about developing your digital product but were afraid to ask." And I'm sure that's something that would apply to many people. So this could be a very interesting event and well worth attending. Titled Gateway to Product Development Success. Can you elaborate as to just what exactly people can expect?
No problem. So the way that this came about is actually we have a couple of our regular members who are founders of startups themselves in the last few years who work with this company called Gorion, who are actually based in Poland. And through word of mouth recommendations, they just happen to have a cluster of startups and small businesses that they work with in the Northwest area. So after a couple of visits coming over, we decided to work collaboratively on this event. To just get people together and share the experience and the knowledge that they have and that some of their clients in Ashone and in other parts of Donegal have had with them, and basically bring all that together in a workshop setting where people could submit questions in advance and have them discussed by these experts and people who have worked with them on product development challenges and have, you know, ended up with successful products. The idea is that anyone who has either a business challenge they think could be fixed with a custom digital product, or if they have a product idea that they would like help to turn into reality, or if they have already created a product or are underway with creating something and need some help, they can submit their question, challenge, idea in advance and then come along to the workshop and have an interactive discussion on addressing their issues.
And when you say a digital product, how broad a term is that? What does that actually cover?
So that is anyone who's developing anything like an app or a piece of software that helps with a business process. Two of the speakers at the event will be Ryan Bradley, who's co-founder of FireCloud 365, a local startup, and Patrick Lynch, who is the founder of BioLedger. So both of them have apps and products that they have successfully created. They're going to be sharing their experiences. So this is a digital product is basically any piece of software that can be used either as a new business venture but in itself or to help a company to improve or expedite its processes.
And by having a workshop and having experts there, that sort of hands-on approach, it really will be a good way of being pointed in the right direction.
Absolutely. So as well as getting some advice and help and hearing about other experiences, it'll also be a good opportunity for people in the area who are either entrepreneurs themselves or someone who's got an idea or somebody who's got an existing business, a chance for them to get together and network and have a chat as well as hearing from the experts and getting to interact with them and get more in-depth and any questions they might have.
And if people are interested in signing up, what's the process? It is a free event.
It is, absolutely. And we will be feeding everyone as well, since we are starting the event at 5 o'clock in the evening. So we're expecting people to come along at the end of their day. And the way that you can sign up, and if you want to submit an idea, you can do that at the same time. But you can sign up if you go to theii.com events page. You'll see the event posted there, and that's where you'll find the link to register.
Great. And if anybody wants to find out indeed more about the Inishowen Innovation Hub in Bunkrana, there's details there as well.
Absolutely. www.theii.com. Or they can send an email to info@theii.com.
And that was Anne-Marie McLaughlin, Innovation Manager at the Inishowen Innovation Hub in Bunkrana. Well, that's it for another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. If you wish to contact me, the best way is by email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, I hope you have a healthy, happy and profitable week. Goodbye.